Game On 2FM.
In association with Rabo Direct, the straight talking savings bank.
Now, in the wee hours of Monday morning, Irish time in the UFC in Boston, Paddy Houlihan dominated and outfought his opponent Shane Howell to win a unanimous decision from the judges. It was his second career victory in the UFC, and I'm delighted to say Paddy joins us in the studio. You are very welcome, Paddy.
Thank you very much, lads. Great to be here.
Ah, it's brilliant to have you. How is the body after that?
Life is good, man. Yeah. My body's healed now. It's
imagine it's better than Shane's anyway.
You're walking over, but you're limping back. That's the rules. But, I did exactly what I said I was going to do. I said I was going to find his back and I was going to choke him. I choked him a little bit, but he didn't pass out. So it was a little bit upset not to get the victory. But I think that's one of my best, or not the victory, the finish.
Yeah.
That's one of my best performances. I really enjoyed that fight.
And I suppose for him as well, looking back, he deserves a lot of credit for kind of holding you out, because a few times there, I mean, you had him really nicely positioned, you had control, and I just thought it's a matter of time now before he gives up. He didn't give up though.
The minute my opponent signs that piece of paper to fight me, I give them as much credit as they're going to get from me.
Yeah,
that's the way it is. We're trying to hold out. You can't win fights by not getting choked out.
Yeah.
I'll always respect my opponent, but I'm not going to give him too much credit for not getting choked out. So I respect him from the start. He gave up Christmas. He made the weight. He done everything that we had to do to get there. And anyone that gets in that door when it closes, I'll shake their hands. But that's where it ends until it's over.
You mentioned making the weight there. How tough is it for you? I know Conor says he hates it. I think Carl Penders says, I don't think anybody likes making weight. Is it bad for you?
I fought a bantamweight for a long time, which is 61 kilo. I even fought up to like 64 and 66 kilo because I couldn't get matched in the country. But making the weight for me now for 57, I always knew I'd end up at 57 because that's when I had to take the serious step forward to making my life a lot more professional and things like that. But 57 kilo is tough for me, you know what I mean? It's not easy to be the biggest, smallest man on the planet.
Yeah, no.
But that's who I am when I check in that day. And I used to be the small guy in the fights. Now I'm looking across and they're the small guys in the fights. So payback's a bitch.
Did you say that you could put on a stone sometimes between weigh-in and actual fight day?
Well, on the 17th of February, I would have been 125 pounds I weighed in, which is championship weight.
Yeah.
I actually went over to 124, so I was standing on the scales with a little cup of coconut water and ice in it, and I was sipping it, watching my weight go up. Just to kind of get drastic measures, lads. You just have no idea. It's crazy. But on the day then, I was up to 140 pounds.
Cause wow.
True. The OSI and all the guys that we, like, even all the guys on the team, and John Connors with the Irish Strength Institute, he helps us out so much, and we have this down to a science now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have this figured.
That's the part that people don't see, Hugh, is that, as Paddy said, the science that goes behind that and making the weight and the sacrifices that you have to make. It's so difficult. I don't think people actually realise how difficult it is.
No, I think as us being athletes and as dedication goes, I think we are by far the most dedicated athletes on the planet. Like, I do listen to footballers, and I have cousins that are footballers. I played football myself, and this pre-season thing that goes around, you want to come over to Ayrshire.
I'm not messing with him. I'm not taking him on.
And check out pre-season. Pre-season, there's no such thing as before and after a season. There's no such thing as I'm getting good now and I'm not getting good now. You're all.
You know, you're the first
good
person to make pre-season sound so camp.
He actually has a point.
Pre-season is casual running. That's what it is. I do pre-season on my days off, and I have a cousin that he actually plays a goalkeeper. He plays for Longford, so he's kind of up there. You know what I mean? He's only a young kid at the moment, but I slap him repeatedly when he says pre-season to me, because he sees what I do. So I'd be close with him, so it's like a footballer and an MMA fighter walking around side by side him, and he starts bitching, I slap him.
I know Conor says he wants to be alone. I'm just looking at your young lad Kieran over at the weigh-in last time, and Tiernan. Yeah. I thought it was Kieran. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. It's easy.
Tiernan,
I'm mad if you hear this at home.
Does he
call me
Tiernan? I wouldn't even take him on at 6 years of age. No. Does he know to leave you alone when you're making weight? Are you the kind of person that likes to be on your own and just keep to yourself, or how do you do?
Well, coming up to the weeks of it, 2 or 3 weeks coming towards the fight, I feel like you feel like some drastic changes in your body. Like your smell and your taste and all gets a lot better. And then when you're looking at an ice cream Mars, it's like there's nothing else in the world but that ice cream Mars over there.
Yeah.
And if you ate that, it would taste like the best ice cream, Mars. But he understands these things. And as I'm saying, I think Neil Seary is the only other UFC fighter to have kids. But for me, I have one kid, and like I'm not with his mother, so the two of us are really good friends. And I take him on days on his own. He wants space with his dad as well. So I've got to bring him to Burger King, I've got to bring him to McDonald's. And and like, I just drool sitting there, you know what I mean?
So this drooling lunatic in the corner.
Hurry up in here. That's so brilliant, Hugh, because that's the one thing that shone through for me in the programme was the relationship and obviously how you feel about it. Now, every father loves their kid, but obviously this is almost like an inspiration that's driving you on as well.
Definitely, like, I know it sounds kind of weird. And,
no, I think it sounds absolutely brilliant, to be honest.
It's not a kind of, like, a pity or a kind of, I don't know, a card. You know the way some people play that
sympathy
card?
Sympathy card, yeah.
The X Factor, or you'll see one of them.
Yeah, the sympathy card.
You know what I mean? Yeah, but for me, when my son was born and when he was coming around, that really, like, that gave me the kick in the butt that I needed, you know what I mean? And I just realised, like, what do I want him to see me as? What do I want him to go into school and say, this is what my dad does? And I had already found the little group of people that I had, which would be John and like Ashlyn Daly and Connor and all these people. That the whole world knows these people now, but these were the little group of people that I came about at that time. And I knew that if I stuck with it and I went on the same kind of journey with them, that this could only end good. Because you can just feel the thing in the room.
How did you come to meet them?
Well, a guy named Jim Donnelly, I'm best friends with his son, Dean. So Jim started this martial arts thing, and I didn't even know what it was called. It was called Taekwondo and all this. I didn't know. I just knew, like, Dean's outfit, that's what we were saying, was not going to learn this martial art and start bullying us with it. So we said, right, we're going up there to do some classes.
Yeah.
So me and Dean turned up together, and Dean's still there in SBG now, and he's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, and he works with the OSI, and it's crazy how it's all... It was actually three generations of Donnellys in Boston there that was with me. There was Jim, his granddad, and Jim's father,
yeah,
which would be Dean's granddad,
yeah,
and Jim, Dean being the son. And like, his granddad has been there for all of my fights from the start.
Wow.
And he's such a fan, such a fight fan. He's an amazing man, you know what I mean? But so with Jim, I had the story about me getting into it. Then I ended up going in, and I remember sparring with Ashlyn and things like that. Like, and she whooped me, boys. Like, and this girl had pink hair. She was like 5'3", and like, where I come from, to me,
right,
that,
yeah,
was a serious problem. You know what I mean? I was thinking like I can't go back into the world. But this stuff is going on. It was like something out of Jackass or something. You know, where the guy goes in and he gets tied up, and I literally set my car for 10 minutes, and I was like, well, this is it.
You're gone.
This is what we have to do for the rest, yeah, of our life. I mean, we were coming back down, and it was raccoon at the time, and I said to Dean, I literally said to him in the car, I was excited, and I said, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, Dean. This is going to be, I promise you, this is going to be my career, and I'm going to do this and all. And Dean remembers it to this day, and he sticks with me, and he said, at that moment, I actually knew you were going to do that for the rest of your life, the way you said it. And
because I was listening to the interview after the win against Shane, and you paid tribute to John, and I think you said something along the lines of that he never asked you for a penny when you came in. He took you in with no hang-ups, no nothing, and he just trained you.
Yeah. I don't think I even talked to John for like the first 6 months, because John was kind of like that black belt across the way, and
yeah,
like all these blue belts were already torturing me, and I thought I could fight walking into that building, to be honest. I would have felt like, yeah, I can fight, you know what I mean? But then the blue belts were killing me, and I was looking at John, and he was a black belt. I was like, that guy, he must be able to, like, shoot bolts of lightning into your ass, you know what I mean? Like, and I was just waiting to see one day. I was. But so I just stuck it out, and then John would come over, and he'd show you a position or something, and me and Dean would leave the building together, and he'd be like, did you feel the pressure that he had on you? And he'd be like, yeah. And it was
really?
It's literally like magic, you know what I mean? And I have the same feeling as all the other people have, that like, I get text messages, I want to go down, but I don't want to get beat up, and I don't want to. It's like cold water. You're standing on the cliff, just hold your breath and jump. It's going to be cold. It's going to be a little bit weird and different. But in a few seconds, it's going to be okay. And that's the way it is. The worst is, you're not going to die in there. So.
Because listen, and look, Alan will tell you, and Andrew will tell you, you know, there are people that don't get it. There are people that don't like it. There are people that are trying to get it. And there are huge fans. And it kind of divides opinion among Irish people. And even recently, I don't know if you saw the stuff with politicians and whatever, but it is a sport that continues to divide people about the violence of it and maybe the regulations around it and all that kind of stuff. What's your response to that in terms of trying to, you know,
well,
sell a sport?
A lot of people have opinions and they're entitled to their opinions, but sometimes their opinion, it has to be valid. You have to know what you're talking about. Mm. I don't go and tell Messi how to play football. I don't go and tell politicians how to be politicians, because that's not my field of work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But here's a personal example. I've been on both sides of the fence, you know what I mean? I've stood there as a fan, and now I am there as this is my job, my career. But I had two spinal surgeries I did, so I got to spend some time in the spinal surgery out in
Sandry?
The Manor Hospital.
Oh, Manor, is
hospital.
It Manor,
yeah. Like, so, and going into that, and I remember texting John from that area in Ireland, and this guy had fell off a horse, and he was just trotting along in the sand. He's a jockey, this was his life, and he broke his neck, and I'm listening to him having a conversation in his bed next to it, in order to, his mother and all, saying, like, how am I going to do this again? And I'm like, this is not MMA. Like, this is, you have horse riding, which is extremely dangerous. You have rugby, which is extremely dangerous. And people have, they comment on what we do and how we approach our sport. But this is our body. These are our injuries. So we have to recover them and we have to feel them, whatever which way it happens. So I don't think that anyone has the right to take anything away from me if I'm not trying to take anything away from you. I know you're trying to protect people and things like this, but the people that you're talking about and you're trying to protect is us. So you have to listen to us as well, you know what I mean?
Well said. Is the back something that you have to manage still, or is it okay now?
I got a thing called a discectomy, where I got a little bit of my disc that was leaning on my sciatic nerve. That kind of put like a little roadblock in my career at the way Conor had just blew up. I know he was over at the Ultimate Fighter in Vegas at the time, and I had the slip disc at the time. But I knew that was my ticket, you know what I mean? That was my ticket out there, so I fought. I lost the decision to a horrible little ugly wrestler. But, you know what I mean? That's just how it goes. But, yeah. Do you know what? It paid off to me. The guys knew my name after that, and I got that little bit of airtime. We flew all the way to Vegas to it, and...
And look at you now.
Look at me now, and I knew it. I told my motto was, I wrote it on my mirror, I will be back and I will be stronger than before.
What's the plan now for the next few months?
I had a little nick on my ankle in the last fight. In the second round, I don't know if anybody noticed it, but as he caught my kick and I turned around, I got one of them kind of little panicky wiggles, you know, a little jelly ankle for a second, and I'm back there to saying it. Them ankles are like that from football, you know what I mean, from soccer.
He's a football man at heart, really.
I played football out in Liverpool, and I played I got player of the year over here and all that. I can kick a ball as well, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. I come from both sides, I can see how it works, and
yeah.
I never tell people what to do, so I don't voice my opinion a lot, you know what I mean? I kind of stay quiet and just listen to what other people are doing. I'm judging everybody,
yeah,
but I'm not telling everybody what I'm judging them and what I'm thinking about them. Because sometimes your opinion, you're better off just, as my mother says, less said, less mended.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, look, it's been a pleasure. I can't believe the time's up already.
The positivity in this room.
How are you feeling, Paddy?
I thought I was a positive person. Paddy.
Listen, it's been absolutely brilliant to talk to you. Maybe you might come into us again in a couple of months' time, and sure, look, we'll see how things go.
Best keep the tea coming.
By the way, Barry's Tea, if you're interested in sponsoring one of the best athletes in Ireland at the moment, or Lions, you know, any of the top brands, Paddy's your man. Get in touch. We'll put you in touch with him. Thanks for me, Paddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, boys.
Game on 2FM.
In association with Rabo Direct, the straight-talking savings bank.